You may not like this. Following the death of Mac Miller, 7 of his albums will be on next week's Billboard 200 album charts. Now, I don't know exactly what the record is, but that is lots.
Mm-hmm.
It has been mandated to leave that alone.
Bye.
Let's just say I'm volunteering to do it.
Did he get to you? Did he threaten you? You know, we can do something. Just tell me. Did he threaten you?
No, but I can tell it was affecting him.
I think he threatened you. You don't have to take that, you know.
I know.
You don't have to fear him.
I don't.
He won't come and beat you up.
I don't. I'm just trying to be a team player.
So the most recent release for Mac Miller, and for those who don't know, Mac Miller, hip-hop artist, died of a shocking overdose.
Yeah, a week ago today.
Yes. Mac was a fan of drugs, it appears, and not the drugs that, you know, like mushrooms and things like that.
He was not a lightweight.
No.
He was into the oids.
Yeah. He went hard. His most recent release, Swimming, will vault into the top 5 with a 500% unit gain in the week, ending this week. And that is large for a guy like that who has, you know, he's in the mainstream, there's no doubt, but he's on the lower tier of the mainstream. I think now he's going to turn into basically a cult hero. That people are going to start consuming his records. And you know what? It happens a lot when people die. You suddenly get discovered by 100% more people than otherwise would have known you.
You die, there's a pretty good chance that your work is going to receive an uptick.
If you have something. And I think the people that swear by Mac Miller, it's all the same. They think that he is incredibly special as an artist. They say that his mixtape, Best Day Ever, could make its chart debut in the top 30. Mixtape?
I don't understand mixtapes.
I don't either, really, to be honest with you.
No, neither do I.
But yeah, he will have 7 records, and you wonder if that's going to grow, or if this is going to be just like a fad, and a week later he's... You know, he's yesterday's news, and they're waiting on the next guy to OD on OxyContin and heroin and smack. And
I mean, usually it's an uptick, but it's not a real sustained uptick.
You know, that's the Kurt Cobain world that we live in, and I'm sure back in the day with Jimmy and Janis and Jim Morrison that you were thinking the same thing, that you can't love these artists too much because they all have that, not all of them, but there's a greater than zero chance that they have that side to them.
They're flawed individuals.
A lot of them are. A lot of them are just out there having a good time.
Well, either way, if you have that good of a time with something like that's kind of a flaw.
What you...
And you know, you learn, and I've learned, I've got this through my... I found myself smart enough to know this after a few of these. You got to separate the person whom you don't know from the work which you do.
Right. Danny, were you surprised or shocked when the Cobain news came down?
About the suicide?
Can I answer this?
We'll let Danny do it first since we're on delay.
Yeah, I was, actually. I didn't know it was that bad.
I didn't either. I mean, I knew that there was something up and you had heard rumors, but this was so pre-everything, pre-news traveling that fast and all that. You just knew that he had some sort of substance issue, but nobody knew how bad it was. Okay, so I want to hear what you had to say.
An overdose wouldn't have surprised me, but the suicide itself did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where I fell on it, too. If he was going to go, I figured it would be via the OD. As opposed to the way he did go.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I didn't learn just a whole lot about that guy when he was around, but what I did learn screamed of a pretty unstable cat.
Were you aware of the influence that he had at that moment and the the power over popular music, well, the fact that he had changed everything?
Yeah, I mean, I was fairly aware of it because the ticket was up and running then. I remember the reaction up there the day that it happened. And, you know, if I had not been aware of it, I was on account of that for sure.
I think it took several years for people to realize the impact that he and his band had on the entire landscape of tunage.
True. No doubt.
Because when you see when you see first graders running around with Nirvana shirts, like that's their classic rock, you know? It's like when we were kids wearing Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath shirts, which I did, but I listened to that stuff.
Me too.
I knew it was old, but I listened to it, and it's the same way with these little kids now.
When I was four, my parents used to put me in a Bing shirt.
Bing Crosby?
Yeah.
Bing?
Bing.
I thought you meant the weird search engine.
Well, we haven't talked about this yet. The fired 60 Minutes boss, the longtime executive producer, the guy that essentially ran the show over at 60 Minutes, a guy named Jeff Faker?
Yeah, Faker.
You sure?
I think.
If there was another G, it would be hard.
Yeah.
But let's go with Faker.
Okay.
Whoa.
If that was a B, it would be Faber.
Right.
So let's say Faker.
I mean, I've not heard this name pronounced, so we could be wrong, but let's go with that.
So there was, again, he was Me Too'd, and there was coverage reports of him in the sexual harassment department, and accusations were levied against him. And then he sent a note to a CBS News correspondent, one of his co-workers, essentially, a girl named Jerrica Duncan, who was basically doing the story on him. And the text read to her, "If you repeat these false accusations without any of your own reporting to back them up, you will be held responsible for harming me. Be careful. There are people who lost their jobs trying to harm me. And if you pass on these damaging claims without your own reporting to back them up, that will become a serious problem." So already you had the sexual harassment allegations or accusations levied against him, and then he sent a threat to the woman doing the reporting. Like, yeah. What was he thinking? And she just looked at it and said, "Here you go, HR."
Okay, man.
He said, "My language was harsh, and despite the fact that journalists receive harsh demands for fairness all the time, CBS did not like it. One such note should not result in the termination after 36 years, but it did." 36 years he has been on that program and running the show at 60 Minutes, and just like that, he is out.
I suspect there's a little bit more to this than one harsh note.
Well, what we just said, the sexual harassment stuff. I mean, that's probably been going on for years. Yeah. At some point,
he seems to be overlooking all that.
At some point in the maybe at the end of this year, we need to make a list of all the people that have been...
The Me Too list?
Yes, the Me Too list, because, boy, it grows every... There's like two or three names a week.
All right, let's get down on it.
All right.
We'll assign that to the P1 of the day.
There's a TV show out there called Forever. Are you guys aware of this?
No.
No.
It's on Amazon Prime. And it dropped today in its entirety. It stars Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph.
Oh, yeah. I have heard about this.
Danny, are you aware of this?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
Forever.
So Fred and Maya play a married couple. June and Oscar are their screen names.
Okay, so they were promoting this recently on Seth, maybe? Seth Meyers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably so.
Yeah.
They're making the rounds. They've been all over. And it's just about how kind of common their marriage is and how, is it banal?
Banal.
Banal?
It's not banal.
Are you sure?
Banal.
That rhymes with anal.
I know. No, it's banal, which rhymes with canal.
And it's just how banal their lives are. But then, and I've read about this, and I'm almost pissed off because I wanted to read, because I'd read that it's really funny and that it's kind of like the best-kept secret on TV. as far as comedies go, but I read too much, and I don't know. There is a massive twist very early on in this series that will rock you to the core when it comes to television comedies. And I think I'm in. I don't want to give away too much because I think there are enough people out there that would like to see this that don't need to know what happens. But
okay,
it's
I don't know what happened. I know. I want to see it now.
I know, and it's not. They say it's very, very dark comedy.
Okay.
As you could probably imagine with the great Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph as well, and their big buddies from their SNL days. So yeah, that just dropped today on Amazon Prime. I don't utilize Amazon Prime very much.
You should. There's good stuff on there.
What have you watched on there? Is Mrs. Maisel on there?
Yeah.
I watched that. Have you watched anything else, though?
I've seen several really good rock documentaries on there that aren't available anywhere else.
Okay.